Okay, I want to preface this tonight. It's a Wednesday night. Okay? And how many can tell we're entering into a place we've not really been before? Can you tell that? Sue and I were talking today. We've got a we stumble for the right word, you know. I said I used the word once. I'm unsettled. I'm reminded of that old deal. That, I don't know whether it's really true or not. I've heard this thing that eagles, when they're raising their eaglets, and they're trying, the eaglets are at the time where it's time to go fly, start trying out their wings. You know, if they're reluctant to leave, I've heard. Now I don't know if it's true. It makes a good story. I've heard that they'll start bringing some thorns and rough things, making the nest a little uncomfortable, so that the eaglets get unsettled. And finally, they just really have no choice but to go try their wings, you know. I feel an unsettling. I think we're about to time. It's about time to fly, Sue said. That's right. And the subject matter we're going to talk about tonight, as he's been giving it to me since we got here, since I sat in that chair, verse by verse by verse, because I don't know where we're going. Okay? Exactly. I just know a little bit. And I can already see enough of it to tell you I'm not walking there. No stones, please. Okay? And I'm going to say that up front because I don't want to be a hypocrite. What I see, where we're going, I just see. And my job is to present it to you as a teacher so you can see it. But we're going to all walk into it together. Okay? Open up to two places. Romans 13. Romans 13 and Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be talking about love tonight and how when we really learn to walk in love, the Bible says once we're doing that, what the Bible calls love, it says we have fulfilled the law. We're going to look at two witnesses here that if you can learn to live in love, walk in love truly, then that fulfills the law. It is the fulfilling of the law because love works no ill to its neighbor. And see, even as he was showing me these verses, putting them together just 30 minutes ago, I was remembering back, how many of y'all, was it a year and a half, 2 years ago? How long did we start talking about, maybe longer than that, the kind of revival that's not just by the gifts. You know, we went to First Corinthians 12 and looked at all the gifts of the Spirit and the kind of revivals that we've had in the past. And I thank God again for anything that's being done anywhere. I thank God that you can go to a lot of those crusades and get healed. But the truth of the matter is, it is kind of a maybe so deal. You know, you go and you might get healed, you might not get healed. You go to the next one, you might get healed, you might not get healed. You go to the next one, you might get healed, you might not get healed. That's not the way Jesus operated. That's not the way he did it. So he healed them all. See, several years ago, we discovered at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, after going through all of that discussion about all the gifts of the Spirit, and they're as the Spirit wills, and the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings, at the very end, he says, covet earnestly. Now we should covet earnestly. I want all the gifts. I want the best gifts. It says covet earnestly the best gifts. But then he says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. More excellent way than what? Always being dependent on the gifts. And what's the very next chapter? What do we call 1 Corinthians 13? It's the love chapter. And he starts going into the love chapter, and if you read it out of the Amplified, he just kills you dead every time you read it. You know, it's like, dear God, takes no account of a suffered wrong, seeks not its own, you know. But that really is. See, that kind of love, we're going to look at it in a couple of places tonight. That's the kind of love. See, that's God. God is love. You want to see Jesus? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. God is love. He's that kind of love. God so loved the world that He gave His best, His only begotten Son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a love that's beyond human love. So, what He's trying to do now is take a group of just folks. I look around this room. Let's see, I don't see any senators. I don't see the governor of Oklahoma. I don't see many business leaders. You know, the Bible talks about that. Not many mighty. Not many noble. See, God delights in taking the foolish things of the world. Everyone raise your hand. He's talking about you now. He's talking about me now. God delights in taking the foolish things of the world and confounding the wise. See? And He's brought us this far, and He doesn't intend to leave us here. He intends now to bring us on in to the fullness of the measure of the stature of His Son. Well, that means we're going to start being transformed now to love. All those messages out of Romans 12, for example, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, there's a transformation that's got still yet to happen. It's got to still yet... I'm right on the edge of prophecy. I'm right at the edge of what I know, okay? But that leads up to Romans 13, which we're going to look at here first. Romans 12, the thing we're trying to be transformed to. See, you can say a lot of good about human love. Human love does a lot of good things. Just natural sinners do a lot of nice things. They feed the poor. They clothe the naked. A lot of sinners do that. They do that in places where, you know, the whole nation is Hindu or Buddhist or something, you know. You know, they're not born again. So they got an old nature, but they'll give and help and do a lot of things, you know. He's talking about some kind of love that is beyond human love. So we're going to look at that tonight. It's an introduction to it, but I do know. Let's look at these two verses. Romans 13 is the first one. Verse 10. Well, let's back up here. Verse 8. Now, by the way, when he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, if you leave that in the context all the way from verse 1, he's really talking about paying your taxes and doing right and paying your bills. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong to buy a house and pay the mortgage, you know. It's really not. That's not really what he's talking about. For years I thought it was, but it's not. If you leave it in the context, he's talking about, owe no man anything but to love him. If you make an agreement with him, keep your agreement. That's what he's talking about. But now the rest of this, where he says, don't owe anybody anything, but you owe him one thing. Love one another. Then he makes this astounding statement. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and notice this, and if there be any other commandment. That's pretty inclusive. That includes it all. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. But I'm telling you right now, he's not talking here about human love. He's not talking about the normal kind of love when we think of love. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture here in a minute. Now, just for... to get more than one witness, go over to Galatians chapter 5. And as you know, Galatians is probably the strongest letter in all of the New Testament where Paul has to lay out, I mean, the whole point of that letter, the whole point is to keep the Galatians from going back under the law of Moses. That was the whole point. And he's summing it up here at the end. And he says, verse 13, For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Now he's talking about freedom from the law. If you'll read that chapter and meditate it, or the whole book, that's what he's talking about. You have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And here it is again. For all the law, how much is all? All the law is fulfilled. See, I've been studying what Jesus said there in Matthew 5. You don't have to turn. You already know it. He says, heaven and earth will not pass away. Not one jot or tittle of the law, as long as heaven and earth remains, until all be fulfilled. Till all be fulfilled. So, look at this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Then look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now that, it has a capital S there, indicating the Holy Spirit. But in the context here, there's a war going on that he's talking about here between your born-again nature and the flesh. That should be a little S there. He says, if you ever learn to walk, see, that nature, whose nature is it? Whose nature did we receive? Christ's nature. His nature is love. So if we learn to walk according to that nature, that it's really Christ in us, if we learn to really walk in that, we'll fulfill the law. Because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So, been meditating all of these things. See, he's still bringing us back to what he prophesied, started several years ago. He's saying, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He's trying to get us now. We're at an edge of this next land to be possessed is the very love of God. The very love of God. Now, that's what he's talking about. And just what little I've studied so far shows me it's quite different than human love. So go over to Luke 6 and let's look at the difference between human love and the love of God. Luke chapter 6 is one good place to look at it. Verse 27. He says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. That's real easy to do, right? What is an enemy? Someone that's against you. Someone that opposes you. Someone that tries to destroy everything you're trying to build. Reminds me of Christ on the cross. Looking out at the very ones who put him there, said that they spat on him and they said, if you be the Son of God, come down, save yourself, you know. Before they even put him up there, they'd put a bag over his head and they'd hit him, say, prophesy. The very ones that put him up there. He says, Father, forgive them. He was up there to die for the very ones that put him up there. This love that I think what's happened in the past as people has tried to, they've seen this, tried to possess the land. I don't think it can be done with human effort. I don't think we can even understand it intellectually without the Holy Spirit. It's a love that's not of this world. And all the human effort that you have is not going to get us there. We're either going to be transformed to it by the Holy Ghost, or we're not going to have it. It's just that simple. Now, the seed of it is already in us. I know that. But it's in there like a little grain of mustard seed. How do you know that, Gary? Oh, well, let me ask you, when's the last time you snapped at somebody? but yet it's in there. The love of God's in there. Amen? But let's look at it a little further now, because he's real clear in this passage about the difference between his love and human love. By the way, human love is full of compassion. You know what the Holy Spirit told us one time when we was in prayer? He said, the Lord said, human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for my compassion. And over the years now, we've seen that time and again. People will be dying of a disease, and of course we have compassion on them. You know, you feel sorry for them, especially if it's somebody you know. But we tend to love them and pet them right into the grave rather than try and keep them built up in faith and fight the fight until they win. Human compassion. Oh, it must be terrible. You know, we just say things that we think will soothe them and help them. I don't need that. Keep that to yourself. Send me somebody that can believe God. Send me someone who can speak the word of the Lord to me and get me up off of that deathbed. You hear me? I don't want your human compassion. I want to live. There's a big difference between human compassion and God's compassion. Okay, well, I want to jump on down here because you've got to see this part. No, I can't. He says, verse 27. Let me read it until we get there. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Boy, now, listen to this. Do good to them which hate you. You ever tried to do that in human effort? Maybe you could do it for a little while. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them. Not just those that use you, but despitefully use you. That's vicious. When it says despitefully use you, I mean, that's a vicious. They know what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose. To him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods. And that means by force. Ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Now, these next two verses, I didn't get this for years. He's really drawing the difference here between human love and divine love, the love of God. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Now notice, for sinners also love those that love them. Now, just a time out for a minute. Time out. Let's just take a nice little... So we don't pick on any particular religion. Let's just go to the headhunters that used to be in, where were they, Ecuador or somewhere, Borneo, I don't know, somewhere. You know? And their idea of raising up your child to be a man, they're looking forward to the day when he brings the head of one of his enemies. Because that's the way they train them, you know. And I think that's good. But now listen, that mama in that tribe that had that baby, you think she doesn't love her child? You think she wouldn't give her own life to save her baby? You think she doesn't have human love on the inside of her? And the neighbors, you know, the friends, not all families love each other real good, but let's say that they do. It says, hey, the people that love you, you know, people that's easy to love. You know, it's easy for me to love Mark over there. That's Mark Rowe right there. We got another Mark right back there. They're just real nice to me. Marinelle's real nice. All of y'all are pretty nice to me. Yeah, all of y'all. And it's real easy, you know. But see, the thing of it is, sinners can do that. I had friends before I got saved. I had pretty good friends. I had friends that if I was in trouble, they'd give me the shirt off their back. See, that's what he's saying. He said, that kind of love's human love. I mean, even sinners have that capacity for love. He said, I'm not talking about that kind of love. See, that kind of love there, if that friend ever turns on you, World War III is about to break out now, see. See, there is a human love that if you love me, I love you. It's amazing. You hear about those You know, the boyfriend-girlfriend deal. I just love her. And then all of a sudden, she's not going to marry you anymore. She's going to marry that other guy. All of a sudden, his love, we'll see the manifestation of that guy's love. He'll say, well, if I can't have you, ain't nobody going to have you. Boom, you're dead. See, there's a fine line between love and manifestation of what we really are before we get born again. Trying to walk in more human love is not what he's calling us to. He says even sinners have that kind of love. Let's look again here now. Verse 33. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. All right? There's same principle. I don't need to elaborate on that. Same deal. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. See, Jesus, in another place, says, when you call a feast, he says, don't call your rich neighbors. Although it's okay if y'all want to feed, Sue and I will let you. And we've been married, 32 years. Our motto has been, you know, when people offer to feed us, we let them. It's been working well for us. We still like that. You know, it works pretty good. You know, you can tell. And that's okay. But see, really, the kind of love Jesus is talking about, he says, now look, I want you to have some feasts. Will you bring the halt and the lame and the blind and the poor? Bring those who cannot recompense you again. He said, you're going to be recompensed at the resurrection for that. That's what he's calling us to as a lifestyle. You know, when we start walking in this kind of love, and it's no longer by the gifts, but we've been transformed enough to the image of Christ where that anointing can come to abide like it did on Jesus. Where you can walk around basically like a waiter in a restaurant. Jesus would say, what is it? Like a menu. He'd say, what is it you'd have me do for you? In other words, what do you need from God? Whatever you need, you can get it. Boy, now I'm looking forward to walking in some of that. But see, to walk there takes a transformation that apparently doesn't happen real often. It requires some kind of a love that's not of this world. When the Bible says, when you walk in love, you have fulfilled the law. It's not talking about that human love we're familiar with. See, it's not talking about that. If that was the case, we could all just be nicer and it'd work. And you could even try and be nicer. Now I understand why for years Dave has given that example of the, you know, try to walk in more love, you know. Husband and wife, they decide they're going to do that. So the husband, every morning, gets up early and while his wife's still in bed, and he makes her breakfast in bed, whatever her favorite is, you know, pancakes and orange juice and eggs and just the way she likes it, does it perfectly, and has a long stem rose in a vase, brings it up, serves it to her. I love you, sweetie pie. You're the best wife. I just love you so much. And boy, she's glad to have it. And I love you, husband of mine. You're the best husband. And this is working really well for about a week. And after about a week, you know, he brings that same thing up there and she says, can't you fix anything except pancakes? And doesn't God make some other kind of flower besides a rose? And the deal's off, see? We come to the end of human love pretty quick. Real easy for me to love old Sandy Inman over there. He's never done anything but good to me. He's never done anything but good. And I just love Sandy. See, my human love, I just love that old boy. But I say, what if suddenly things was to change? And not, I can't even hardly picture this, you know. But what if suddenly things wasn't so good? My love would come to an end. But Christ's love would reach out even stronger. You know, that love of Christ, if one of the sheep strays, the love of God will leave the 99 and go after that one. Even though that's the one that strayed, it's the one maybe that's sinning, it's the one that's treating you wrong. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, I'll go ahead and tell that story. Now, I'm telling this story, most of you's heard it anyway. And I'm only telling this as the beginning, tiny little bit. It's one of the first little lessons that I've had in this kind of love. I've got a long ways. I'm telling you again. I'm seeing into the land, okay? I got a ways to go. One of my first experiences with this kind of love, I don't have too many enemies. I really don't. Sometimes I worry about that. You know why? Look at verse 26. You still in Luke 6? Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. So I take consolation in the fact that one pastor up in Wyoming or Montana, I forget now where he was, he commanded everybody in his church to bring in all those Gary Carpenter tapes to be burned. I go, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not everybody speaks well of me. Glory to God. But we did have an enemy. I don't know how else you'd put it. We tried several times. I mean, every time we'd see this, you ever try? It'd be like trying to pet somebody, you know. You ever try and pet a dog that I don't want to mean to call him a dog or anything. I'm just saying. What it reminds me, every time we try and be nice to him, he bites you. You know? We really like you. Ow! Man! We think you're a good guy. Ouch! Would you quit biting me every time? And it wasn't enough. It wasn't just a matter of being aloof or neutral. He was actually doing things that was causing damage in our family. We weren't doing everything right either, I'm sure, but it was a real problem. And it went on for a long time. A year and a half, 2 years. One day, I'll be honest with you now. I mean, I'm not used to people not liking me. I'm pretty likable. Most people like me. It bothers me when people don't like me. Boy, he didn't like me at all. And told other people not to like me. Told my family. And I don't want to go too far into that. I never caused some damage to... I've been married to Sue for 32 years. And something he did caused my wife to cry harder than I've ever seen her cry any other time in 32 years. Now that level of... You get my wife crying, you and I got a problem. Okay? That's the kind of, quote, relationship that we had. So one day I minded my own business. It's been going on for a long time, about a year, year and a half maybe. God, I'm minding my own business. God, just out of the blue, says, I want you to give him your pickup. Now in those days, you got to remember, I was raised in the construction business. I always had a pickup my whole life. Big part of Gary Carpenter's identity for most of my life, Gary and a pickup truck just went together. I love my pickup truck. Don't mess with my pickup truck, okay? And this one was a pretty nice one. I've had junkers, you know, and I've had nice ones. This one was a pretty nice one. And I heard God is clear. I heard him say, I want you to give him, and I knew who he was talking about. I want you to give him your pickup truck. I don't know why I said this, but I said it out loud. What pickup truck? And I only had one. Are you kidding? You want me to give that guy my pickup truck? That guy doesn't even like me. Are you sure you're talking about that guy? Yeah, that's the one. I fussed and fumed around there. Now, he could use it. He was also in construction. He could use the thing. I didn't know if he needed it or not. God didn't say anything about him needing it. Just told me to give it. Well, this wrestling went on in my heart for a little bit. But, you know, I've been coming to the prayer center for all this time, praying, trying to hear God's voice. Then you finally hear it, you know. I didn't know whether to rebuke the devil. I knew for one thing it wasn't me saying that. I know for sure it wasn't Gary saying that. I said, I knew it was him. I said, well, all right. See, I don't know about you guys. Obeying God is not always, oh, yes, Father, I lovest thou dearly. I hearest thy voice, O Master. It's like you said, what? What? And then even when I agreed to do it, it was kind of, all right, I'll do it. I wasn't at all happy about it. So I was thinking in my mind how I'm going to do this. And the Lord says, I want you to clean it up first. You know, I've been using it in construction. I want you to clean it up. I want you to wax it. Clean it up nice. Fill it up with gas. So I was going to take it down to that. In those days, there was a nice car wash on Peoria right next to McDonald's. And I'd go there because I could go get some coffee and wait while they took it through there, you know. And God says, no, I said, I want you to wax it. For that guy? Yeah, I want you to. So it's in the driveway. Got the hoses out. Got everything cleaned the thing up. Armor all the tires, armor all the dash. Thing hadn't looked that good in years. Filled it up with gas. When I took it to him, to give it to him, I said, God, now we don't have a good relationship, you know, so I'm just trying to get it done. Said, I had the pink slip signed, or not a pink, here, no, it's a title. Had it title signed and the keys. And I said, his name, I said, here, I found him. I said, God wants me to give you this. He says, I don't want it. I don't want anything of yours. Now what do you do? I didn't know what to do. So I just laid the title on the ground, put the keys on it. Said, well, God told me to give it to you. It's yours anyway. And I walked away. See, you'd think when you read this, how many of you heard Dave say when he was meditating this passage, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. He said, if I started loving others, man, they would just start loving me back. And he said, it doesn't say that, does it? He says, when I started loving others, it's almost like they started searching my back, trying to find a place where there was not yet a knife so they could put one in there. When I went through with this thing, I kind of found out what that was about. He wasn't happy. It didn't break down anything. Now, fast forward a few years. See, that was just one of many things God was trying to do to rescue him. God was trying. He brought him to the prayer center trying to rescue him. Many people tried to help. And that man's not even, he's already gone home. He's not on the earth anymore. I am so glad I obeyed God. I don't want any guilt in that situation. I am so glad that that was one little part in God reaching out. Now, to be honest with you, because my mind was still trained in the wrong values, I thought if I'm going to have to give this thing, I might as well take advantage of it. And I started confessing my 100-fold return on my pickup. Hey, that's what I'd been taught. You know, not here, but, you know, God was in the process of renewing my mind too. Or how about this one? I claimed my pickup, good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and running over a better one. God didn't give me no pickup. To be honest with you, He was trying to separate my identity from pickups. I didn't know that then. I know it now. He was trying to change how I see myself and my identity. And he's working on, I can't help it, he's working on Jason right now, trying to shake a little bit of the California out of that boy. I love you. I love California, but yeah, you know, you're going through some culture shock right now. It's okay. It's good for you. You know, he's not going to make an okie out of you either, but he's going to, you know. Sometimes he's trying to mold us into his image. Well, that means ours has to change. See? He didn't let me have no pickup of any kind for a long time. And to be honest, I didn't really need one anymore. Several years went by and finally he let me have another one. You know what it was? I call it a toy pickup. It wasn't even a real pickup. It's one of them little Chevy S10s. You know, it's like roller skates. You need one for each foot. I mean, that's not no man's pickup. I'm sorry, if you drive an S10, that's okay. I mean, you know, for crying out loud. But I've always had those real nice Silverado, big, nice pickups. Man, I'd get in that little buckboard. That thing ride like a buckboard. You know, my other truck had the glass packs on it. Lobba, lobba, lobba. Boy, I think it sounded good, you know. Getting that little pickup. Oh, God, I was embarrassed to drive the thing. Cured me forever from all pickups. I don't care anything about pickups no more. Finally gave that one away a couple years, maybe 2 years down the road. I haven't ever had a pickup since. I don't care if I ever have another pickup now. Now, I said all that to say, see, that's just one, that's my only, or one, it's probably the primary thing I can remember so far that even resembles anything like this. But see, where God's taken us in this love walk, the real love of God loves our enemies. The real love of this, again, I think about Dave saying God would much rather stop Osama with the gospel than with a bullet. If we could ever get Osama saved, you know who he would be like? He'd be like Saul of Tarsus. He really would. The guy sold out to what he believes in. You get a guy like that sold out to Jesus Christ, he'll win more people to God. So this love of God, which is not like human love. Now look at it again. You got to get this part. Verse 32 of Luke 6. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners, get this, sinners also love those that love them. That's human love. We've already got that. That's not the kind of love 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. That's not the love of God. That's not the kind of love that fulfills the law. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to... And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Then he starts summing this up. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. Now this next part, even after I heard Dave teach on it, it took me a long while to get this. It says, you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the who? Evil. Now notice, but be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now, wait a minute. Leave this in the context. Mark, help me. There's another. We got just a Church of Marks. Glory to God. Now, you got to be Jesus last time. I'm going to be Jesus this time. I'm going to be the believer. You're the mean old guy. You come slapping me on the face. I'm not too hard now. Come, get me. Man, he's taking my stuff. He's getting my wallet. He's doing me evil. Man, now who is it in this situation that looks like they need mercy? Who is it that looks like they need mercy? I'm the one getting beat up. I'm the one getting robbed. I'm the one that all the bad stuff's happened to. And in that situation, Jesus says, for me to be merciful to him. Because my Father is merciful to the evil. See, if we're the believer, we're okay. We've got it made. We're going to heaven. Who is it that's in trouble here? It's that guy. Can you see that? When he says, be merciful, he's saying, look, this is why he's saying, don't worry about your stuff. If he takes away your goods, if he takes your car, your pickup, or anything like that, he says, God says, I'll speak to people. Man, I'll get it back to you. What I'm needing is someone who's walking enough in my love to perceive that he's the one in trouble, not you. And if you're willing to use your goods to extend my love across that void of spiritual death, say, I forgive you. I forgive you because God forgave me. Here, take my wallet, take my car, take my glasses, take what, you know, I forgive you. And just share the gospel. Just do it and just share the love of God to him, not human love, but the love of God. God says, if you'll extend even to the realm of your finances, even to the realm of your goods, if you'll extend it across that spiritual void, send my love to him, you'll never be permanently diminished. I'll speak to the hearts of men. They'll give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You'll have everything you need. Don't you worry. What's precious is that lost soul. Thank you, Mark. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? Preach is good. Hard to live. Preach is good. And I think he wants us to try. But I also think he wants us to understand we're not going to make it. It's kind of like those people trying to keep the law. You can't do it with human effort. We had to be born again. What he's after, though, is that awareness that we need that transformation. The only way I know that we're ever going to go from where we are to that kind of love. Yes, sir. It's supernatural. It takes the Holy Ghost. Now we go back to Romans 12 again. Yes, sir. Man, it's amazing to me how the Holy Ghost knows the Bible. Because he told us leading up to that, we started off in Romans 13, you know. And Paul is writing to New Testament, born-again Christians. That letter, he's writing to Christians. It's like he might as well have written it to the church at Tulsa. What he's saying to them, he's saying to us. So, after, we're coming back to 12 here in a minute, but look at verse 13 again. Now, say with me, chapter 12 comes before chapter 13. Okay, so what he says in 13 here is predicated on what he said earlier. All right, now watch this. So in Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now what we've been seeing, though, it's the kind of love that's beyond human love. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, that's great. Trouble is, you can't just take that out of its context either. Let's back up to see what he said before this in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Now that includes the love of this world. Be not conformed to just human love. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well now, but he starts this chapter off with, I beseech you, therefore. So everything he says here is based on something he's already said previously. So let's go back to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Because, say, Gary, I've tried that. I've tried to love my enemies. I do good for 2 or 3 days. And then, boy, I mean, all of a sudden I just snap. And I've called every lawyer in town. I'm going to make them wish they was never born. Yeah, I got lawyers. It's got lawyers. And I'm going to get them. Well, See, God didn't just give us a new nature. He did give us a new nature, and that new nature groans within us, trying to transform us to the image of Christ, because it is His nature. But look in Romans 8:26. In that same way, likewise, the Spirit, and that should be a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, also, along with your new nature, also helpeth our infirmities. Now that word infirmities, I've looked it up before, hallelujah. I've looked it up before. It means the weaknesses. It means the human failings. It's not just physical flesh. It's everything. I'd like to say it's physical flesh and every unrenewed part of the soul, including the emotions. Said another way, it's the part of us that's still like us and not like Him. It's the part of us that gets offended if they sit in my chair. It's the part of us that if they slap me on the face, I want to sue them. I don't want to offer them the other cheek. I want to sue them. It's that part of us. He says the Holy Spirit has come to help you with that part of you. To help you with that part of you that's not yet like Christ. Also, He put a new nature, but He gave the Holy Spirit also to help us with those infirmities. Glory to God, we're not in this battle by ourselves. He gave us a nature. He says that nature comes in like a seed. It comes in like a mustard seed. It's in there. I know it's in there. But I also know I in the far distant past, I've lost my temper with people. Y'all didn't laugh. That was a joke. Far distant past. Yeah, I know it's in there. But see, the Holy Spirit has been sent also to help us with those very infirmities, the weaknesses we have, the things that keep us from doing the things that we see that Christ wants to really do. Holy Spirit, He looks around on the inside. This goes right along with all those messages we've heard Pastor Dave. You know, you start praying in the Holy Ghost, what happens? It's just exactly like shining a flashlight into a dirty attic. Everything was fine before you shined the light. You shine that light and you see cobwebs and dirt and dust everywhere. Your first reaction is, look at all the dirt that this light brought. Light didn't bring the dirt. The light exposed the dirt. Then He starts dealing with you about getting rid of the dirt. We call those impasses. Let's finish reading the verse. You see, all of this leads up to that love that He talks about over there in Romans 13. He's already talked about the Holy Spirit, who also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Can I put that a couple of different ways? In the context of tonight's teaching, we don't know what's wrong with us. You know, we're like that salmon. Dave's sitting back there now, you guys. And I'm using all of his examples because I can't improve on them. Okay? We really are like that salmon swimming upstream, wondering what's wrong with all those other salmon. You know, what's wrong with all these other people? I'm the only one that's doing it right. Everybody else is looking at you going, strongholds. Now, they may be nice about it, not saying it to your face, you know, but everybody, when Sue and I walked through the door of this church back in 1992, we should have had a top hat, each of us, that said, strongholds are us. Because, I mean, we was wall-to-wall strongholds. And I don't know how many still in there. But I thank God for the Jerichos and the Ais that have come down. Amen? But it says, when we don't know what to pray as we ought, we usually think we need a better... In my case, we usually think I need a better pickup. And He says, no, you need to love your enemies. You need to love with my love for that guy. I'm trying to rescue him. I don't want him to go home early. I'm trying to rescue him. He's got a whole ministry. I have plans. I'm trying to rescue him. Do your part. Give him the truck like I told you. He's trying to put that kind of love in it, see. But it's a transformation. I'm convinced we can't do it. I can't change myself. The Bible says, can a leopard change his spots? Obviously the answer is no. Man can't change himself. That was the whole point of giving man the law and telling him to keep it. Found out that he didn't have a nature to keep it, and a leopard can't change his own spots. God says, but I can change your nature. I can do what you can't do. Then he puts that nature on the inside and we still have trouble. Have you noticed? He says, all right, I've got some more help to also help you. I put a nature in there to help you, but I have an also to help you. And his name is the Holy Ghost. You don't even know what to pray as you ought. You don't even know what's wrong with you. And if you did, you wouldn't know how to fix it. Wouldn't know how to fix it. I know somebody who knows not only what's wrong, he knows how to fix it. Dave said it best. I'm not doing it because he's sitting back there. I was doing it before he walked out. It's not hard to love when love is what you are. God, that's exactly where he's trying to get us. Let me show you a more excellent way. I see it. I want to be there. Love that takes no account. You got an amplified here, right? Don't y'all bring an amplified? Y'all turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Can I borrow your amplified Bible? 1 Corinthians 13. Out of the amplified. We're going to look at the part where he starts describing that love of God. Yeah, you can do this in human effort. I know you can. Sure you can. Love. Let's see. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious. Never boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. God's love is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly. Does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own chair. Or its own way or its own pickup. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. This is the one that slays me. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Now see, I want y'all to understand, when that was going on with the guy that he had me give the pickup to, trust me, I was paying attention to suffered wrongs. I was taking account of everything that was happening. It's not that I was operating in the love of God. He was trying to get me to operate in the love of God. Actually, he was trying to use me as a tool in his kingdom to rescue somebody that he loves with all of his heart. See, but I'm not trying to tell you I was operating in this. I obeyed reluctantly. I'm real glad about it now. Sure wasn't very happy about it then. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Now this is easy, this part. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. And I know we're all like this. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. That guy that's beating me up and slapping me, stealing my stuff, forcing me to walk a mile. I know all the time that he's doing that, you're thinking on the inside, he's probably a pretty good guy. I bet God really loves this guy. We got a ways to go. And developing more human love isn't going to cut it. Because that is not human love. That's the love that's in that nature. And I'm convinced only the Holy Ghost is going to be able to bring that to the fullness. And I thank God he has it at this church, where we can hear this message. The message that has come to maturity. Thank God. Thank God I don't have to stand up here and tell the church, see, I don't have to tell you, you need to walk in more love. You knew that before you came here. But thank God you're at a church where you have the message, if you want to walk in more love, this is how you do it. Turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Do the things that he's given us to do. and let that transformation happen. It's not hard to love when that's what you are. And that kind of love fulfills the law. Is that good stuff or what? Well, what can we do? Is the answer just by trying? The answer is going to come by praying, fasting, meditating the Word, worship, spending time with God. You become like who you hang around the most, you know. Let that transformation happen.